Dear participants, welcome to the municipal level of the All Russia School Olympiad. We shall start with the listening tasks. There will be two tasks in this section. Task 1. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. You will hear each extract twice. Now you have 40 seconds to study the information below. Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Daniel. How are things? Have you applied for college yet?
Well, I can't decide which one to go for. Lots of colleges have sent me their glossy brochures, and I see they now go on about how environmentally friendly they are. In fact, they've got a star rating system for this one.
They're trying to attract as much interest as possible. Though I'm not sure that would have much impact on my choice. Ultimately, the course has to be the right one, though I can see they need to compete.
Well, yes, but if I was torn between two courses, the new rating could decide it. It's good they're thinking about these issues, and the marketing people are certainly shouting about it.
It's getting like the commercial sector. Those companies who sponsor a charity, for example, are trying to persuade consumers that just by buying their products, they're doing their bit for charity and can ignore other causes. I don't know if it increases sales, but the cynic in me reckons many companies just want to appear softer in the public eye, so they make a lot of noise about their charitable credentials. Hi, Daniel. How are things? Have you applied for college yet?
Well, I can't decide which one to go for. Lots of colleges have sent me their glossy brochures, and I see they now go on about how environmentally friendly they are. In fact, they've got a star rating system for this one.
They're trying to attract as much interest as possible, though I'm not sure that would have much impact on my choice. Ultimately, the course has to be the right one, though I can see they need to compete.
Well, yes, but if I was torn between two courses, the new rating could decide it. It's good they're thinking about these issues, and the marketing people are certainly shouting about it.
It's getting like the commercial sector. Those companies who sponsor a charity, for example, are trying to persuade consumers that just by buying their products, they're doing their bit for charity and can ignore other causes. I don't know if it increases sales, but the cynic in me reckons many companies just want to appear softer in the public eye, so they make a lot of noise about their charitable credentials.
Are you still going to the gym, Frank?
Yes, but not as often as I should be.
That's the problem, isn't it? I've heard that the dropout rate among gym members is very high, even in those really expensive luxury health centers. Anyway, gyms aren't the answer. I'm sure the real key is to build exercise into your daily routine by doing something simple like walking to the mall or taking the stairs rather than the elevator or doing sport. And another thing, people tend to think that a 60-minute workout entitles them to laze around for the rest of the day, or eat a lot and then undo all the good they might have done. But people who exercise little and often don't fall into the same trap.
That's all very well, Mary. But what about the people who don't give up on the gym and who actually feel the benefit and quite enjoy the comradeship? Each to his own, you know. If you just give it another shot, you might find it suited you too.
Are you still going to the gym, Frank?
Yes, but not as often as I should be.
That's the problem, isn't it? I've heard that the dropout rate among gym members is very high, even in those really expensive luxury health centers. Anyway, gyms aren't the answer. I'm sure the real key is to build exercise into your daily routine by doing something simple like walking to the mall or taking the stairs rather than the elevator or doing sport. And another thing, people tend to think that a 60-minute workout entitles them to laze around for the rest of the day or eat a lot and then undo all the good they might have done. But people who exercise little and often don't fall into the same trap.
That's all very well, Mary. But what about the people who don't give up on the gym and who actually feel the benefit and quite enjoy the comradeship? Each to his own, you know. If you just give it another shot, you might find it suited you too.
What did you study at university, Alicia?
Horticulture, plants and things. I was based at a regional one, but I also spent time studying in the capital.
Seems a strange place to go if you want to grow things, the middle of a huge city.
That's what my fellow students said. I mean, I know it wasn't ideal. It's a harsh climate. Winters are bitterly cold and the summer's sweltering, with little rain. But folks in the city are just determined to grow stuff, on rooftops, balconies, wherever. They'll just garden anywhere they can. It was a reminder of the strong spirit of gardeners.
Come to think of it, I do remember noticing the way some of the trees were looked after there. Instead of bare bits of ground around urban trees, they seem to take great pride in filling the earth around them with flowers.
And all that's done by the residents themselves. It's as if every tree is to be celebrated.
I wouldn't go that far. Not all parts of the city are like that. What did you study at university, Alicia?
Horticulture, plants and things. I was based at a regional one, but I also spent time studying in the capital.
Seems a strange place to go if you want to grow things, the middle of a huge city.
That's what my fellow students said. I mean, I know it wasn't ideal. It's a harsh climate. Winters are bitterly cold and the summer's sweltering, with little rain. But folks in the city are just determined to grow stuff, on rooftops, balconies, wherever. They'll just garden anywhere they can. It was a reminder of the strong spirit of gardeners.
Come to think of it, I do remember noticing the way some of the trees were looked after there. Instead of bare bits of ground around urban trees, they seem to take great pride in filling the earth around them with flowers.
And all that's done by the residents themselves. It's as if every tree is to be celebrated.
I wouldn't go that far. Not all parts of the city are like that.
Now you have 20 seconds to check your answers. Now we are ready for task 2. Task 2. You will hear a student called Josh Brady talking about visiting South Africa as part of his university course in botany. For questions 7 to 14, complete the sentences with a word or a short phrase. You will hear the text twice. Now you have 30 seconds to study the text Trip to South Africa. Now we are ready to start.
Hi everyone, My name's Josh Brady, and recently I was lucky enough to go on a botany trip to South Africa with my tutor and other students from my university to gather data for the research project we'd been involved in all year. I didn't post my diary or blog on the university website because I'd promised to submit a report on my return, which would appear there, and I was working on that from day one. We were going to explore a beautiful region of coastal countryside that had previously been affected not by drought, as is common on some parts of the African continent I've studied, but by fire. We wanted to see how the flora and other life forms there had recovered. In fact, some plants growing there are dependent on this kind of event to trigger their germination. When we first saw the landscape, however, we felt rather confused. Much of the area seemed to be cultivated fields, principally of red tea, rather than the colourful flowers we'd been led to expect. Sensing our confusion, our tutor reassured us that we'd soon be off to a wilder area where we'd see a more striking range of specimens. We'd imagined this would involve being taken around in a kind of minibus or even a van and trailer. But in fact, what we boarded was what I can only describe as a safari truck, and we headed out into the natural vegetation. When we arrived and started walking through the vegetation, I found the shape of the leaves rather a surprise. Coastal plants can often be tough, with leaves coming to a point like sharp knives, but these resembled needles more than anything else. That meant I was inadequately dressed for walking through them in thin trousers. I was also totally unprepared for the amazing scent that the plants gave off. By the end of that trip, I'd lost count of how many species we'd come across. Small, delicate pink specimens, bright yellow heathers, one with deep orange blooms, the mental image of which will stay with me forever, and bright crimson wild specimens. The local farmers are totally committed to protecting the flowers and plants that have colonised the area. Conservationists call it shrubland, in other words, a vast area of vegetation that now has a rich array of plant species. But that sounds a bit negative for a place that to me seemed like a paradise. One drawback was that although the bedrooms in our hostel each had a balcony, the view was of the backyard with a small garden beyond, which was hardly impressive. But by way of compensation, the roof offered a spectacular vantage point over the surrounding scenery. We spent every evening watching the sun go down from there, a magical end to each fantastic day. Anyway, the trip was the most amazing I've ever...
Now you'll hear part two again.
Hi everyone, my name's Josh Brady, and recently I was lucky enough to go on a botany trip to South Africa with my tutor and other students from my university to gather data for the research project we'd been involved in all year. I didn't post my diary or blog on the university website because I'd promised to submit a report on my return, which would appear there, and I was working on that from day one. We were going to explore a beautiful region of coastal countryside that had previously been affected not by drought, as is common on some parts of the African continent I've studied, but by fire. We wanted to see how the flora and other life forms there had recovered. In fact, some plants growing there are dependent on this kind of event to trigger their germination. When we first saw the landscape, however, we felt rather confused. Much of the area seemed to be cultivated fields, principally of red tea, rather than the colourful flowers we'd been led to expect. Sensing our confusion, our tutor reassured us that we'd soon be off to a wilder area where we'd see a more striking range of specimens. We'd imagined this would involve being taken around in a kind of minibus or even a van and trailer. But in fact, what we boarded was what I can only describe as a safari truck, and we headed out into the natural vegetation. When we arrived and started walking through the vegetation, I found the shape of the leaves rather a surprise. Coastal plants can often be tough, with leaves coming to a point like sharp knives, but these resembled needles more than anything else. That meant I was inadequately dressed for walking through them in thin trousers. I was also totally unprepared for the amazing scent that the plants gave off. By the end of that trip, I'd lost count of how many species we'd come across. Small, delicate pink specimens, bright yellow heathers, one with deep orange blooms, the mental image of which will stay with me forever, and bright crimson wild specimens. The local farmers are totally committed to protecting the flowers and plants that have colonised the area. Conservationists call it shrubland, In other words, a vast area of vegetation that now has a rich array of plant species. But that sounds a bit negative for a place that to me seemed like a paradise. One drawback was that although the bedrooms in our hostel each had a balcony, the view was of the backyard with a small garden beyond, which was hardly impressive. But by way of compensation, the roof offered a spectacular vantage point over the surrounding scenery. We spent every evening watching the sun go down from there, a magical end to each fantastic day. Anyway, the trip was the most amazing I've ever...
Now you have 20 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening tasks. Please remember to transfer your answers into the answer sheet. Good luck with your reading, use of English, writing, and speaking tasks.